Welcome to the Central Live Podcast with Pastor Jim Caldwell. At Central Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama, it's our mission to make disciples who make disciples. Let's join Pastor Jim as he shares today's message.
You believe what we just sang? Holy Spirit, come, invade our lives, take over. We're coming to you. We're letting go of ourselves. We're going to let you take control of our lives. So we're in this series of messages called The Principles of Being the Church. And we've already gone through three principles. We're on number four today, right? Number four. Four comes after three. I was about to say three comes after four. That's not good. I want to review our first three principles, okay? I'm telling you, I actually made some sheets. If you want them, I'm going to put it up on my mirror that has these principles to kind of remind me, maybe my refrigerator or something, kind of remind me of these principles because they're so applicable to my life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've forgotten number one until I look back at it, right? I mean, it's hard to remember them all. So I'm going to keep printing a list about every four or so. They're on the edges. If you would like one, the edges of the wall, little half wall here, would love for you to have one. But the first principle is that we're to be Holy Spirit-powered witnesses. And there is no other kind of witness, right? Holy Spirit-powered witnesses. Principle number two is that Jesus ascended to heaven and is coming back, and we've got to be ready. Got to be ready. We just sang about that. He's coming back. We've got to be ready for His return. Principle number three is the Holy Spirit is actively at work in the life of every believer, and we can know it. We must let Him have control, and that's kind of what we were singing about this morning, is letting the Spirit of God have His way. And so last week in Acts chapter 2, if you remember, we saw the promise of the Holy Spirit became a reality. He came to earth. It was in a really different kind of way, probably one that's never been seen exactly like that again. But this gospel message of Jesus had been preached, that he had died, that He was raised from the dead, and that we could have life in Him. That gospel message had been presented. And after the message had been presented, anybody know how many people got saved? 3,000 people. One day. That would have been quite a baptism, wouldn't it? To be 3,000 people give their lives to Christ. Man, they must have been running them through probably several whole watering holes or whatever they had to be able to baptize in. It must have been a really exciting time. You know, when the gospel's preached, it deserves a response. It deserves to have a response. That's why every week at the end of our service is a response time. It's a time to respond to what God's doing in your heart. So I want us to look in Acts chapter 2 again today. Acts chapter 2, starting with verses 40 and 41. Acts 2, 40 and 41. It says this, "And with many other words," this is Peter who's talking, "many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So when those who had received his word were baptized, that day there were added 3,000 souls." 3,000 people. That's pretty amazing. You think the Holy Spirit was moving? Holy Spirit was moving, right? 3,000 people come to faith in Christ in one day. Immediately baptized them. That must have been quite a sight and quite an event. What would happen if this place got filled up with people? What would happen if the Holy Spirit was unleashed? And we started having people get saved right and left? Well, what would that feel like? It'd be pretty neat. We got a good start going. But are we really willing to let the Spirit do what He wants to do? Are we really willing to let Him have control? 3,000 people. Look at verse 42 with me. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles. We're going to come back to verse 42 in a little while, but I want you to look. What do you think of when verse 43 says they were feeling a sense of awe? I mean, I want you to picture what that's like. Because I don't know about you, I've never seen that many people saved. They said signs and wonders were going on, things were going on that probably they didn't see on a regular basis. They were awestruck. They were like, God is moving. This is God. This is our God. This is the God who we serve. Through His servant, Jesus is doing all this stuff. But, you know, that sense of awe, it's just a sense of wonder of how great our God is and how wonderful He is. I remember when I was in Thailand, I saw someone healed, literally healed from affliction they had for a long, long time. That's what I remember. I remember that sense of awe. I was like, whoa, God really showed up here today. That's how they felt. God was here. God was doing something. Now let me ask you a question. Is God just as much here as He was back during that day? Yeah. Why do we not see Him in great power in His church? Why is His church not as powerful as it was back then? I want you to continue to think about that question as we keep going through these weeks of study in the book of Acts, because I think we see some distinct things that, sure, part of it was to establish the church. But can I tell you, I just feel like we have a lack of power. Anybody else feel that way? There's not a whole lot of power in the church today. There's not a whole lot of Holy Spirit-driven power, things happening. I don't think God stopped, Joe. I don't think I've heard some people preach this, that, you know, the apostles, that was during their day, and, you know, God's done with that kind of stuff. I just don't believe it. I don't think God's done doing miracles. Can I tell you, every person who gives his life to Christ, that is a miracle right there. That is going from death to life, isn't it? It's going from as dead as you can be, spiritually dead, to having spiritual life, eternal life, everything you could possibly want. You get. But where's the power? Where's the power in His church? Where's the power? See, I don't think God's done. I just don't believe that. God doesn't change, does He? It says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews, doesn't it? He doesn't change. Why do we not see it? Go to verse 44 with me. It says, and all those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Okay, now, I know you think, okay, that was kind of crazy, wasn't it? I mean, all these Christians, 3,000 plus, there was probably 120 before that, they just basically put everything together and said, we're going to help everybody in this church who has a need. We're going to help people, and we're going to share everything. Food, money, whatever it is, we are sharing everything. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? It sounds kind of crazy. I want to tell you, one of the things that we're doing in the P5 group is we're studying about listening to God, being able to hear God, hear His voice, know how to follow Him. You know, Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me, right? So we're supposed to be able to hear His voice and to follow Him. And so we're listening. We're listening. Well, I got to tell you, yesterday morning, I was spending some time with God. And actually, I wasn't studying for this message. I'm a week ahead on messages. It's not like I was studying for the message. But God brought Acts 2:44 to my mind. And He said, all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And you know what? This is really simple, y'all. But I want you to remember this. We're better together. Think about that. We're better together. See, I can only do so much. And you can only do so much. And the church down the street can only do so much. But you know what? When we combine our efforts together, when we start looking at things as kingdom things instead of our little kingdom things, when we start looking at God's kingdom and basing what we do off of His kingdom instead of our little kingdom that we have, it's amazing what we can do together. We're better together. You believe that? That's the word God spoke to me. I'm telling you, He spoke it to my heart. We're better together. I want more of us together. I want more of us together because they were together and maybe they sold everything. You know, maybe that's not the model we use, but I will say this. We're better together. We need to be in this together. We need to be heading down the same road together, right? And we're not the only church. We need to be heading down that road with the churches around the corner from us. We need to be headed down that road together with other believers. They don't have to be exactly like us, but we're better together. I think the scriptures prove that over and over and over. We're better together. See, the early church, they shared everything. They just loved each other. You know all the love one another's you see in the scripture? They just did it. They just put their needs aside and just let's help everybody who's part of this church. We're gonna get them going. When people had a need, the church met it. That was just the way it was. Look at verse 46 with me. It says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, this group, they were unified in their love for Jesus. They wanted Jesus more than anything else. They ate together. That's always a good thing, right? We're about to do that here after church. I hope everybody's coming. You didn't have to bring anything. Come eat. Enjoy the fellowship together. But you know what? Things were really good for the church at this point. You see, they had favor with people, favor with God. Everything was going great. People were being saved. It was just this awesome thing going on. They were pretty much universally loved by everybody at this point. The Jews, everybody. They saw how much these people loved each other and cared for each other. And it made an impact on them. But I want us to go back. You know, Jesus is growing His church here. Go back to verse 42 with me. Pop it up there for us, verse 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. See, to continually devote yourselves to something. I want you to think about the wording of that. First, just to devote yourselves to something means that it's like top priority, right? If you devote yourself to something, it's like the top priority. Now, what do you think it means when you add the word continually? Think about that for a minute. When you're continually devoting yourselves, to me what that means is you're giving your life fully over to the Lord. You are in full surrender to what He wants for you. But see, they were continually devoting themselves to these things. So let's look at what these things are they were devoting themselves to. First is the apostles' teaching. Well, I will tell you, if you think about this, they didn't have the New Testament at this point. They were in the middle of being a part of writing it, being a part of the history of it, of what was going on. So they were the apostles. Remember when Jesus came back, was resurrected, came back for those days? He showed them all things in the Scripture that pertained to Him. The apostles knew exactly what needed to be taught. What happened to my English? My wife don't shoot me for that. She's an English person. See, they had the message. The apostles had the message to teach. They had been with Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw His resurrection. They saw the power of what had happened. They saw it all because of that. They had fellowship. They were devoted, continually devoting themselves to the teaching, to the apostles' teaching, also to fellowship. And this is biblical fellowship. We'll talk about that in a minute. They devoted themselves to meals together. You know, we're good Baptists. We like a good meal. I will say that. I know I do. But I think the meals had more to do with sharing life than they did with just eating good food. They had more to do with the biblical fellowship aspect of it that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. And then they devoted themselves to prayer. And so principle number four is this: because we're led by the Holy Spirit, we must be devoted, a people devoted to the Word. Now we've got the Word, right? We've got the New Testament and the Old Testament. We've got it all. We've got to be a people devoted to the Word, devoted to biblical fellowship, and devoted to prayer. Let's look at being devoted to the Word for a minute. You know, we've got the New Testament. We've got to be devoted to the Word of God. What do you think it means to be devoted to the Word of God? I want you to think about that for a minute. What does it mean to be devoted to it? Well, I will tell you this. It means you have to read it. You do have to read it. And if you're devoted to it, it means you're in it a lot. It means you're becoming very, very, you know what's in this book, right? When you're devoted to the Word of God, you know what's going on in this book. You learn more and more, you grow. Have y'all ever read a passage 1,000 times and then you come back 1,001st time and God shows you something different that He's never showed you before? That's how this Word of God is. It's living, it's active, it's there for us. But you got to be in it for yourself. I can't get in it for you. Now, I do, and I share my knowledge and my study and what I do, but that can't be it. You can't know the Word of God from listening to me. You can't know the Word of God from listening to Charles Stanley. Great preacher. Love him. We listened to one of his messages in P5 the other day. Love Charles Stanley. You can't listen to Louis Giglio or Stephen Furtick or whoever, Matt Chandler, whoever your preacher is that you really like, David Jeremiah. You're not going to get the Word of God without going in it yourself. Now, it's a good addition. You're supposed to have preaching. You're supposed to listen to preaching. You're supposed to listen to other people. But you got to be in this book for yourself. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to be in this book on a regular basis, not a on and off kind of thing. Devoted. Remember the word devoted. I want to say devoted. Do you want to be devoted? See, devoted is what Jesus requires. You got to be devoted to the Word of God. One of the things I love about being a Southern Baptist is that we are a people that stand on the inerrant Word of God. That's never going to change in my life, I promise you. I don't care how many deconstruction stories I hear of people giving up Jesus. Man, Jesus made a difference in my life. He is real, and His Word, you can stand on it. You can count on it. It's never going to fail you. What else do I need to say? I'm telling you, we're standing on the Word of God. We're not going to go away from the Word of God. That's where we go. Because you want to know something? Listening to God, much of what God's will is for your life is found when you're reading this, when you're in this book. You got to be in the book for yourself. You can't have somebody else in there for you. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." See, His Word is active and alive. His Word never changes, but you know what? He illumines things for us, helps us to see things that we're going through in different perspective from His perspective as we study through. You know, I always talk about our hearts, don't I? Our motive for why we do what we do. You see what this verse says? It says that it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the what? Heart. Of the heart. That's our motive for why we do what we do. The Word does that. The Word does that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." See, that's so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, the Word of God, man, you got to have it. It's for teaching, all these different things, reproof, correction. God wants each one of us to be equipped. He wants us to be ready to go into the world, to be a soldier, to be better together. He wants us to come together like that. Do you have a plan to keep you in God's Word daily? Can I tell you? Because that's what it takes. Here's what I know. Just from being old, here's what I know. People do what they want to do. People do what they think is important. If you think football is important, I guarantee you are devoted to football. You go and you do football. And no matter what else is going on, you do football. And if you're devoted to the Word of God, if you're devoted to the Word of God, you'll be in it every day. You'll find a way because it's the desire of your heart to be in it. It takes an intentional plan, an act of the will. Do that. I'm telling you, it doesn't happen by accident. I got to tell you, you probably could count on my hands and feet in the last fingers and toes in the last 25 years how many times I hadn't had a time with the Lord in the morning. And you want to know why? It's not because I'm great and you know, just this awesome Christian guy. It's nothing like that. You know what it is? I made a decision a long time ago that I was going to spend time with Him first thing in the morning. And no matter what happened, I carve it out. Every morning, no matter what's going on, I carve it out. And I will tell you, is it sometimes dry? Yeah, sometimes. But you know what? That consistency, it's not always going to be that way. The Word of God is living and active. You keep on that day by day by day, and He will show up. It's just the way it is. But you got to be committed. You got to be committed to His Word. Remember principle number 4, because we're led by the Holy Spirit, we must be a people devoted to the Word, to biblical fellowship is the second one, and to prayer. A couple of years ago, I preached a message. Actually, I think it was 3 messages. On biblical fellowship. Anybody remember that? Probably not. Okay. The word translated fellowship is koinonia. Anybody ever heard that word before? It's an interesting sounding word. But it means association. It means community. It means to share. The early church had koinonia. They shared in everything. They shared in life. They shared everything together. That's what fellowship is. Now, I will tell you, we have fellowship halls, and we have fellowship meals, but true biblical fellowship many times does go with a meal, but it's you living in community with other believers. It's you sharing your life, what's going on in your life at that meal with somebody. It's you caring about somebody else enough to do that. I'm going to go through these really quick. There's some aspects of biblical fellowship that I want us to look at. The first one is you have to love others, okay? You got to put others above yourself. You have to love other people. That's biblical fellowship. Is I care about what's going on in their life is why I'm having this biblical fellowship. So you love others. You put others first is the second one. Put others first. That's not easy, is it? Because I don't know about y'all, but my default is I'm taking care of me. Y'all, our default should be I'm taking care of everybody else. Number three, be a burden bearer. See, people have biblical fellowship. It means that you're able to talk through what's going on in your life and allowing others to pour into you, but it's the other way around. You also have to bear other people's burdens as well. Being a sacrificial giver is also an aspect of biblical fellowship. You want to give because you want to help everybody. You want to help them. Another aspect is gentle correction. Gentle correction. When you see, I don't know, you ever talk to somebody and you're on the outside of their life, okay? And you can see clearly what they're about to do is about to run off a cliff with their life. You know what I mean? I mean, they're about to have a train wreck, right? You see it. Well, biblical fellowship, you tell them. You help them know, hey, this isn't lining up with the Scripture. I love you too much to let you crash. See, that's what gentle correction is about. Another aspect of biblical fellowship is being present in good and bad. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. We're all broken people in a broken world. And so you have to be present in both times. And then the last thing is you persevere in prayer. You know, I gave a few suggestions for biblical fellowship. I'm just going to run through them real quick. Invite a friend this week to hang out and talk about what you've been reading in the Bible and pick a regular time to meet. Meet with somebody. Talk about what's going on in your spiritual life together. That's biblical fellowship. Invite a family for a meal. That's another one. And share how God is working in your life. Start a same-gender spiritual accountability group. We've got several of those going on in our church right now. Incorporate more sharing of your spiritual lives in your small group, wherever your small group is, whether it be Sunday school, whatever's going on. Be a little more open. That's tough to do sometimes. And then start a friendship this week with a new person or a family that you know is a believer. And then just care for them. Love them. Care about them. Those things sound good, don't they? But it takes action, doesn't it? And time, all the stuff. But that's what the early church did. They loved each other. They cared for each other. They were invested in each other's lives. Are we invested in other people's lives? And then last, I want to talk about prayer. Principle number four, again, the last part, because we're led by the Holy Spirit, we must be a people devoted to prayer. I preach so many messages on prayer. Are y'all sick of hearing them from me? Probably. If you've been here at all, you've heard the importance of prayer. The early church was devoted to prayer. Why do you think that is? Well, it's because they wanted to get to know God, get to know His heart. They wanted to know who he was. Philippians 4:6 says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, anxiety and fear, man, that's two of Satan's biggest tools in the life of believers. To mess us up. But when we recognize the enemy's scheme, we can have victory. We don't have to live like that. And how do we have that victory? It's through prayer. It's through spending time with Him. So is prayer an important part of your life? Now, I'm not talking about just when the wheels are falling off. I'm talking about on a daily, regular basis. Remember it said, be devoted to the Word, be devoted to this biblical fellowship. And He said, be devoted to prayer. That means devoted. That means it is a high priority. Do you pray regularly? Or is it just when, like I say, when things are going bad, it's getting tough? Y'all, it's hard to hear God when you're only going to Him at really noisy times in your life. It's hard to really hear what He wants to do when we're only going to Him at the times that are really tough. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I did a really deep study on that. You know what it says? You know what it means? Don't stop praying. That's all it means. Always be in prayer. In an attitude of prayer, be praying. Do you think about prayer tomorrow at 11? Or are you calling out to God tomorrow night at 6? Or are you in an attitude of prayer all the time? Because that's where God wants us. That's where He desires us. That's what the early church did. And you know, we have all these corporate prayer opportunities. We have fervent every Wednesday night. You ought to be here. I don't know why more people aren't here on Wednesday night. It is an awesome time of prayer and worship. We also have a weekly prayer call that you can join in on Wednesday mornings at 7. Our men are praying on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. There's just all kinds of prayer opportunities going on to help you, encourage you, for your prayer life to grow. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Remember the principles? We're to be Holy Spirit-powered witnesses. Jesus ascended and is coming back. We got to be ready. The Holy Spirit is actively at work in the life of every believer, and we can know it. We must let Him have control. And then today is because we're led by the Holy Spirit. We must be a people devoted to the Word, biblical fellowship, and to prayer. These four principles are a great start for us to be the church. Who's the church? That's right. We're the church. And so we need to learn how to be the church. Here's four principles right off the bat that you can invest in and put into your life, apply to your life, and be the church. I want to encourage you to do that. Are you powered by the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Does the Holy Spirit have full control of your life? Are you devoted to the Word and to biblical fellowship and to prayer? My cry to you today, this is our time of response, is to give it over to Jesus today, wherever you're at. Whether you have a relationship with Him or not, give Jesus full control today. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. As the band comes, the worship team comes. Maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you don't have a relationship with Him. I would love to share with you how to know Jesus. You know, what Cornelius did today was testify to Jesus' death by going under and burial and His resurrection when He came up out of the water. It's a picture of what happens going from death to life. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never done that, this morning's the time. I want to encourage you. After this prayer, I'll be down front. Would love to talk to you. Maybe this morning, it's time to give Jesus full control. You've been hanging on. I know how it is sometimes. You've just been hanging on, right? You know, it's really funny. You see the picture of the cat, the little kitten, hanging on to the rope, right? And, says, hang in there or something like that. Well, what I'm telling you to do is let go. Let go and let Jesus. Because He wants to do it in your life. You can't do it. You can't live the Christian life on your own. Let's pray together after this prayer. I'll be be our time of response. Lord, we're grateful. Grateful for these Lord, true reminiscences of, in the book of Acts, of the early church, God. And I know, Lord, that Lord, we don't have the power that they had. A lot of the reason is, Lord, we're not surrendered. We're hanging on to way too much of our lives. And Lord, you'll never let go. So God, today I pray. I pray, God, as you work in hearts and lives, Lord, as we open up this altar for prayer, that God, you work in the way you desire. Lord, if there's someone who needs to share a story, God, I'm here for that. Lord, whatever you desire to do this morning, I pray your will be done in this place. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Central Live podcast. If you'd like more information, visit our website at centrallive.org.